Worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. Again, Matthew 28, starting at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Verses 16 through 20, Matthew chapter 28. Then looking in the gospel, in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Romans 12, starting at verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Verses 1 through 13, Romans chapter 12. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful gift of eternal life. Thank you for the privilege of being of knowing you and being able to walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing, the wonderful gift. You've called us out of the world and into a new relationship with you and one another. You've called us to be a part of your family, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing and a privilege it is. Father, set us on fire afresh with your Holy Spirit and stir us to be believers who love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength and live sacrificially to follow you, to simply carry out that which you've called us to do individually and collectively. You've called us to go and make disciples in all the world. Help us to be faithful to that calling, Lord, every day of our lives, and teach us what that means and teach us how to live it out fully as you would have us to. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
God, we come to lift high your name today, to exalt you, to bring praise and honor to your name, Father. We pray for our listening family today. So many needs these days with sicknesses and with financial situations, relationship situations in this fallen world. Father, we bring our listening family to you and pray that you will meet their every need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Let me remind you once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We want to remind you that we continue to share with you, for those that email us to let us know that we have evangelism and discipleship materials we want to share with you. Our goal is that you'll use them for you and your family, but you in turn forward them and share them with others, and that way we all can be involved in the wonderful work of making disciples by way of email as well. We are blessed in a very special way to have with us in studio today Mark Davis. He's the founder of the ministry Worldwide Church Planters. Brother Mark, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Brother Joseph. How are you?
Doing good. Good to have you today, and an honor. And I had the privilege of hearing you share with us in devotion this morning here at the American Family Association, and obviously you're on fire for Jesus, and praise God for that. I want to ask if you'll take time now just to further introduce yourself, okay. And then we're going to talk about whatever the Lord's put on your heart to talk about today.
Well, very good. Our organization, Worldwide Church Planters, was started in 1998 with the desire to go into the harvest areas of the world and begin to help men and women who desire to plant churches, to work with them, come alongside of them, and to be able to touch the lives of individuals that are in those villages or towns or cities, wherever it may be. And God has just really opened up a wonderful door for us to step through. And we've seen God do things that I just have to look back and say, that's unmistakable Jesus Christ, how mm-hmm. He has worked and continued to work. But He is providing us opportunity to be in many countries. And we've seen quite a few churches planted over the years, as mm-hmm. well as many professions of faith as well.
Mm, okay. Well, again, an honor to have you today. And I'm going to ask, as we get started, as we start off, would you pray for our listeners to have ears to hear all that the Lord would share with them as we talk about the work God has called you to today?
Yes, let's pray. Holy Father God, we come to you today in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, what an honor it is to be able to serve you.
Thank you, Father, Jesus.
Those that are listening today, that their hearts will be open to your Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray you would draw individuals to yourself. Firstly, Father, if there's someone that does not know you, that the day will be their day of salvation. And Father, for those that proclaim the name of Jesus, that they will seek your face, seek your will, and surrender their lives to serve you. I pray for those that are listening that this will have an impact upon their hearts, that Lord, as you draw them to yourself, that they will see that they can have a part in your work, Lord, to touch lives not only in our country, but in the countries around the world. So, Father, I pray for each one. I pray for the needs that's in each person's life, not only to find your perfect will. Father, there are folks that are listening today that have physical needs, problems in their lives. Lord, would you minister to them as only that you can do. And, Lord, we want to give you praise and thanksgiving for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. Now, as we begin, would you start off by telling us a little bit about how the Lord first came into your life and how your journey started?
My spiritual journey started when I was at the age of 7. It was on a Tuesday night. The family was in the living room watching television all together, and some things began to happen that caused me to ask questions. And so I was sitting on the arm of the couch. Dad was sitting on the couch. I was right next to him, leaning over on his shoulder. And I began to just kind of ask him some questions. Nobody else in our home knew that the conversation was happening. Mm-hmm. But I began to ask him spiritual questions. You know, what's going to happen when I die, when I draw my last breath? At the age of 7, that was something I was thinking about. Mm. And so little did I know that he got on the phone quickly thereafter and set an appointment with our pastor, Tom Drake. Mm-hmm. And on Wednesday night, we arrived at church. Just Dad and I were in the car. And Brother Tom came out. He got in the car with us as we sat in the parking lot at the church. And Brother Tom was on my right-hand side. Dad was on my left. Brother Tom Drake took a Soul Winner's New Testament out and began to share the Word of God. And I knew right then I needed what I was hearing. And so I basically just said to God, Lord, I surrender to you, and I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and invited him to come into my heart. He gave me the eternal life at that moment. Mm-hmm. That was on a Wednesday. He said, we're going to go back into the church, and we're going to do what we normally don't do. We're going to give an invitation. And so he did so, and I walked down the aisle and told everybody that I've given my heart to Jesus. And that started my journey from that day forward.
Mm, okay. And so at what point did you feel the Lord calling you into ministry specifically?
When I was in the 8th grade, we had our church went to or took all the youth to a youth activity in Memphis. I grew up in a little town called Dyersburg in Tennessee. And so we were there for the weekend, came back home on Monday, went to school. After school, was walking home by myself, which, as I tell people, that was highly unusual. Usually, a lot of the kids in our neighborhood, we walked together. but I was walking back, and I stopped right at the railroad tracks before crossing back over, and I looked up to heaven, put my finger in the air, and said, Lord, I'll go anywhere in the world you want me to go, tell anybody you want me to tell about Jesus Christ. I didn't know, Pastor, what that meant. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that God was listening. I didn't know that he was going to take me serious, mm-hmm. and he did. And obviously, mm-hmm. he has literally taken me around the world to mm-hmm. be able to talk to people and share the gospel and help plant churches. Mm-hmm. So my mission journey started then, but really took full value in 1995 when I was invited to go to Kazakhstan. Mm-hmm. We arrived in Kazakhstan right after they broke off from the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union. The government had not been put into place yet. And so we were able to go and do a lot of street preaching and personal evangelism and work. And God just got a hold of my heart that this is what I need to be doing for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And I made a decision that on that trip when we got ready to come home, I told a friend of mine who was leading the project, said, you just leave me here, go mm-hmm. home, pack my wife and kids up, send them over. Mm-hmm. This is what I need to be doing. And so from that point forward, I began to study and learn more about missions, go on more trips. Quickly went to Siberia after that and was able to start training some men, planted 23 churches on that particular project in Siberia, which is far eastern Russia. So God just took the prayer serious at that moment mm-hmm. back there when I was in the eighth grade and began to unpack that, unfold that, and been able to see God do some things were just wonderful and how mm-hmm. God was able to work.
So well, now, prior to you going on this mission, first mission trip, you were in the ministry prior to then as well.
Yes, right? I was pastoring a church in Jacksonville, Florida. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's what I would be doing from now on is staying right there to pastor those folks. And right in the about midway through that time, my friend Dr. Steve Wilkes hadn't come down to preach revival, and he says, you need to go on a mission trip with me. And so mm-hmm. I said, yep, I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. And that's when it really started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so now you're specifically a missionary whose your specialty is planting churches in,
yes.
correct?
Yes.
Now, isn't the method that you use a little bit different from your average missionary?
Probably. But I will say it's really different from what we do here in the United States. Mm-hmm. In the United States, the thought is that it's going to take months, maybe years, to plant a church. On the mission field, we'll see churches start in one day. Mm-hmm. I was sharing earlier that I took a gentleman with us who was over the church planting department for the state convention of up in the northern states. Mm-hmm. And you know, he said, you know, y'all, there's no way y'all can plant a church that quickly. So I took him out with me into the Amazon, mm-hmm. and in one day we started a church. Mm-hmm. And he just said, he just scratched his head and said, if I were not here to watch it, I would not have believed it, mm-hmm. that God can do a work like that so quickly.
Mm. And so you've done this in many different countries.
Yes. We've seen, we've really lost count, you know, over 1,000 churches that we've been able to see organizationally. Around the world, and we don't know how many grandchildren churches have come out of this as well. We've really lost count, mm-hmm. but several hundred churches have been planted over the years, and then, of course, with that, thousands upon thousands of professions of faith, you mm-hmm. know, that have been made, and, you know, we're just rejoiced that God gives us a chance to see a church started and people coming into faith in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, again, a powerful picture as you're painting it of what you do and what your mission is about. And so on the other side of the break, I'm going to ask if you'll help us to see what a church looks like, the kind that you're planting these days.
So, okay, very good.
So again, our in-studio guest is Brother Mark Davis. He's the founder of Worldwide Church Planters. We'll be right back.
Mountains to fall upon their knees.
Music of Lincoln Brewster with More Than Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Mark Davis. He's the founder of Worldwide Church Planters. And Brother Mark, as we begin this segment, I want to ask if you will take the time now to paint a picture for us of what a new church that you've just planted looks like.
The church on the mission field that we have opportunity to work with may take different shapes, if you will. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll plant a church underneath a tree. Sometimes we may do it in a community center type building that the mm-hmm. village may have. Some may have an actual building itself that they've rented, you know, the church planter, the pastor that's going to work in that area. Whatever it is, it takes the shape of the culture of that community. It does not look like a church that we're familiar with here in the United States. So it's going to take on really the image of what the people of that village, what they think and how they feel, what they see. And so from that standpoint, the outer portion of that would be like that. The pastor is someone that we've trained on how to plant a church. Mm-hmm. He usually does not have a lot of seminary education. Mm-hmm. In many cases, the only training he has is what we give to him in a short period of time.
So will the pastor sometimes be someone who has recently received Christ in that village?
Sometimes that's true. Mm-hmm. Or it may be that he's received Christ, gone through the training, and moves to an area. We planted mm-hmm. a church on the Amazon River, on the river called Jutawa. And the pastor that we trained in Manaus, the main city in the Amazon, when the training was over, we put him on a hammock boat, sent him to Jutawa. He got off the boat, slept on the beach. He knew no one in mm-hmm. that community. Next day, goes around, finds a family that would allow him to hang a hammock in the backyard, and from there began to start the church. Now, we arrived quickly thereafter, following him, and we rented a small little building, thinking we'll have 10, 12, 15 people show up. We never got a chance to use that building. Mm-hmm. That first service, we had over 200 people show up, so it was outdoors. Mm-hmm. And that church began to grow, and within 9 months was in two services in the morning, two services in the evening, mm-hmm. and was just expanding. They were starting to build their facility that they would use as their church building, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it looks a little different than what we're accustomed to in the sense of, you know, mm-hmm. air conditioning, sometimes there's none. Lighting, sometimes there's none. We have the comfort of the windows being closed up there. It may be they're fighting mosquitoes or other things, but they still have church. Let me add this real quickly, Pastor. Many of our churches right now in the Amazon are having church services in a building, but in ankle or shin deep water. It's flooding there right now. In fact, one of the worst floods they've had in many years is taking place. And so they're showing up for church and worshiping God, standing in water. Now, you say, well, okay, they're in water. These are anaconda-infested waters. These are piranha-infested waters. Cayman, which is like a gator-infested waters. When it flows in from the rivers, everything comes with it. Mm-hmm. And so they're having church services, worshiping God, in the midst of that type of environment. Mm-hmm. Most of our folks here in the United States, if the church flooded, well, I'm going to stay home today. But there, you know, God is so important to them. It's not the environment of a building. It's the relationship with God that they see. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the church itself looks a little bit different in the respect of the way the facility may be or the way they gather. Now, we'll train our church planter in songs, and it's in his language, if you will. We have native speakers that will help us with this. They will learn those and go in. We helped plant a church one time, and I basically said, who reads the best? Every Sunday, it's your job now to read the scriptures. It wasn't the pastor. Mm-hmm. He didn't read well, mm-hmm. but it was one of the members, mm-hmm. new members. Mm-hmm. Who likes to sing? Well, we're going to teach you some songs, and it's your job to teach everybody else these songs. Mm-hmm. So immediately we started finding out who could do different things and begin to funnel that to them so that they can learn that, and already they've got a job in the church to mm-hmm. begin to perform. And, of course, the pastor would stand up and he would proclaim the message that God laid upon his heart as well. Mm-hmm. In some cases, we even share with the group as they come together, why don't you pray and ask God who's to be the pastor? Mm-hmm. We have planted churches and not have a pastor for that area. And so as they begin to pray, and they begin to all say, you know, God, is it me? Is it mm-hmm. me? Is it me? And God lays it upon someone's heart, and somebody says, I've been called to preach. And mm-hmm. God gives him a message, and he begins the process of sharing the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We don't do things like that in the United States. Mm-hmm. I think we've Americanized church so much so that we have really taken away from what God can do in many respects. Now, I'm not saying God's not working in local churches today. Most certainly he is. But when you compare what's going on here, what's going on somewhere else, it's quite different. I believe that the next great awakening could be on the continent of Africa. Mm-hmm. There's a moving of the Holy Spirit that has taken place like I've never seen in my lifetime, mm-hmm. and probably you as well. But God is working. We were planting a church in a particular village, expecting just a few people to show up, didn't do any advertising or whatever. 3,000 people came out for that church service. And when I look on the – we were doing it on the side of a mountain. When I looked on that mountain, I didn't see many houses. Mm-hmm. Where'd they all come from? I never got a real answer with that. Mm-hmm. But they were there. Over 3,000 people showed up mm-hmm. for that first church service. A little different situation than what we see in most cases, even here in our own country.
Mm-hmm. Well, so – part one of the things that you're seeing is you're seeing the Holy Spirit move mightily mm-hmm. as you simply walk in obedience to what the Lord's called you to do then.
Yes, and one of our board members said that's the providence of God. Mm-hmm. You know, God is doing a work through those that not only are available but are willing for him mm-hmm. to work. And if we would be willing, and I want to encourage the listeners today, what you see other men or women do around the world, you think, well, I can never do that. Yes, yes, you can if you'll surrender to God, because mm-hmm. it's not you doing it to begin with. It's God doing it through you. Mm-hmm. If you would become a vessel to allow God to work in your life, God will do things beyond your understanding.
Well, if someone wants to support your ministry both with their prayers and their finances, how could they do that?
One of the good ways to do that is get right on our website, wwcp.org, wwcp.org. That stands for Worldwide Church Planters. There is a PayPal account there. The donation button is there. Also, there's a way to send me an email if you'd like to get more information. If you want to pray for us, we develop prayer teams. I have a prayer team of about 30 people that when I'm traveling, they know I'm going, and they've committed to pray every single day for us. Mm. Let me share one of those stories, if I may.
Okay.
I was traveling by myself in East Africa, and I arrived there, was going to do a training class of about 27 people, 27 church planters. And so that first day I arrived, I rented a home in the community, and got ready to go to sleep. I late, you know, opened up the window, had a mosquito net over my bed. And I went to sleep, got a real good night's sleep. Got up the next morning. The gentleman I'd rented from, he was so apologetic. And he said, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sure you didn't get to sleep at all last night. And I said, I slept really well. In fact, I'm ready to go this morning. He said, it's impossible. It is impossible for you to have gotten any sleep. And I said, okay, now, wait a minute. You need to tell me what's going on. Mm-hmm. Something is happening here. And he said, well, there was an uprising last night. Just on the other side of the wall of our compound here, there were rebels that came in. They were throwing, he called them hand bombs, hand grenades. They were shooting. There was rapid fire shooting. Several lost their lives. Mm-hmm. And there's no way with all that noise you could have slept. I didn't hear a single thing. I'm a light sleeper, but I didn't hear anything. Mm-hmm. Roll the tape forward a little bit. I come home, and one of the ladies in our church came up and says, I need to tell you something. And I said, okay. While you were gone, Mom, who now is in, like, I think she's 98 years old, mm-hmm. she got up out of bed, came and woke me up and said, we need to pray for Brother Mark. He's in trouble, and he doesn't know it. Mm-hmm. And so they got several of the ladies in the church on the phone. They began to pray that I would be able to sleep well, not be bothered by anything going on. And we traced it all the way back to that night.
Mm-hmm.
They were praying me through that conflict. And I never knew. I never knew what was going on except what I was told later on. And so thankful that that she went to prayer time for us and all the ladies in the church. Let me just say to you, prayer works.
Mm-hmm.
God is listening. Let me give you one more quick one.
Okay.
I'm in the Amazon. I'm on a boat going up a river. The water level falls quite a bit, and we get caught on boulders that's underneath the river, and the boat won't go anywhere. We're in a fairly good-sized hammock boat. It's a wooden boat, and we're doing everything we can to get off those boulders. I mean, we even had another boat come in and try to pull us off. We have a fairly good-sized John boat with a good-sized motor, and it's pushing, trying to get off. Nothing happened. Several hours. Some of the Brazilians jumping in the water, going underneath, trying to help break the rocks up. Nothing happening. Came and started swimming in. I had a little satellite device, so I got on there and texted my wife. I said, we're all okay, but we're in trouble. We need some prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And she texted back just a few minutes later and said, we're all praying. And it wasn't just a few minutes after she texted me back to say, we're all praying, the boat slid right off those rocks. We had spent several hours trying to get the boat released. I learned a lesson. When you're in trouble, get people praying right away rather than try to fix the problem yourself and then, as a last resort, talk to God. Mm-hmm. We need to be talking to God as a first resort.
Mm. Those are some powerful stories to think about. And you know, one thing that comes to my mind is, of course, God answers prayer however he chooses to.
That's right.
But often he uses angels, and, you know, it'll be great when we get to heaven to see the heavenly videotapes of exactly how the angels come into a scene and what they did to help fix all kinds of situations.
That's right.
So great to think about that.
Yeah.
Now, if someone's listening and they say, well, I want to go with Brother Mark on the mission field, how would you respond to that statement?
I would say that's a wonderful thing. First thing you ought to do is go get your passport. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything without the passport. But we need to talk a little bit. I want to know about your salvation. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there's been people that said, well, I want to go, but they're not walking with the Lord. And that's just not the right time at that moment for them. But, you know, where is your standing before God? Have you committed your life to him if you're saved?
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the purpose of you wanting to go so that we can help you to understand that purpose and to fulfill that purpose as well? And so we do take folks from other churches. Occasionally we'll travel just either myself or me and one of our other board members, depending on what the responsibility is for us. And then we'll take teams in for a particular function. If we're doing evangelism, I want to take an evangelism team in. If I'm doing training, I take a training team. If I'm doing just some general work with the church to help the church learn what to do next, then I'll take a team for that as well. So it just depends on what the need is at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we welcome people to go with us. We want them to learn how to do this. We can't do it by ourselves. I heard Jerry Rankin one time say, who was the former president of the International Mission Board, he said, we cannot do this alone. We need help. We need folks to come alongside and see the responsibility themselves and get to the mission field and let's go to work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what they need to do is go to your website to try to contact you then?
That would be the best place to start. They can send a text message or an email to me, rather, through our website. And then once I get it, as quickly as I receive it, I'll turn right around and send you a note back. And then we can begin a dialogue.
Okay. And if someone listening wants to become a part of your prayer network, what would they need to do?
Same thing. If they would, now, of course, they can pray without me ever knowing. Mm-hmm. We have folks pray for us that I don't know. But if they'd like to let me know that they're praying the same thing, they can do it. Send us an email, and then we can put them on a list and send them a note back when we're out and about so that they can pray specifically for us at that point in time. We welcome all the folks that want to pray. We need more prayer warriors.
Mm. And, you know, I think of this, too, that I hope lots of folks listening will choose to become prayer warriors, both that get in touch and that don't. But also one of the reasons why it's good to get in touch is they'll have the opportunity to find out specific right. communications that you want to send out about maybe specific needs as well.
That's correct. And that's what we do. You know, all the prayer warriors, they get a message from me. Here's what we're about to do. Here's why I'm leaving. The purpose that we're going to be trying to accomplish while we're on the mission field. And so they all know what's going on. They also will know when I come back, you know, well, here's the results. Here are the number of professions of faith. Here's how many churches. Here's things that we were faced, and you prayed us through that. And so I do continue to send that information out to our prayer warriors.
Mm, that's good. Well, again, hope that every single listener will just pray about what the Lord would have you to do to connect with worldwide church planners in some way, whether you will become an intercessor, one who gives financially, someone who needs to come and go with Brother Mark on a missions trip, or maybe all of the above. But whatever you do, the important thing is to follow the Holy Spirit, listen to what He tells you to do, and simply do that. Our in-studio guest is Mark Davis, the founder of Worldwide Church Planters. We'll be right back.
Our Father, which art in heaven, yeah, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Of the Walls Group with The Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Mark Davis. He's the founder of Worldwide Church Planters, and he's been sharing about both the mission of this ministry and some of his experiences as well. Now, Brother Mark, just a question here. If it works overseas, can it work here in the U.S. as well?
Yes, sir, it sure can, Pastor. Christ Community Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida, was started just like what we do overseas. There was a family were shut in. They were not able to get out and go to church. I was home from a project, and I got a phone call, and they asked, well, would you just come over on Sunday afternoon and have church with me and Jack being the one that was really sick and not able to get out. And I said, sure. And so I got my wife, and we went over to their home. And when we arrived, little did I know, I was thinking it was just going to be Cindy and me and the two of them. And we arrived, there was like 25, 30 people that were there. They got on the phone, began to call people and said, come, we're going to have church services. And Brother Mark's coming.
Mm-hmm. And now, so how long ago was this?
Oh, that's probably been 14 years.
14 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we had church service, you know. I don't like to sing out by myself a lot, but I did a lot of singing, a lot of preaching, teaching, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then I left and went somewhere else around the world, and I came back, got another phone call. Would you come do that again? And so we did, right there in their living room. You know, we had church, and one of the gentlemen that's there said, "Well, why can't we do this all the time?" And so we started that church, mm-hmm. and the church is still doing very well, still in existence, still thriving. And it was just started just by, all right, we're going to come together with a few people, and today is the day, and mm-hmm. they became the church. Mm-hmm. So the very thing we do overseas is what we did right then, is come together, schedule time, invite some people to come, those individuals that are wanting to learn more about Jesus, and we begin to disciple them from that point forward. So it can work here, there, everywhere.
Well, Mother Monk, I want to ask you, I hope this is not a tough question, though.
Okay.
Well, okay, you compare a church started like this to a typical church here in the U.S. What would keep a church already established from adopting some of what you're doing and beginning to move forward in the same way that you do, like the churches that you've started?
First, that church is going to have to shed its view of the way we plant churches at this point. We think we've got to have a full staff, a lot of money, and all that. But if a church were to say, I want us to plant a church, they can take this model and they can plant a new church somewhere. By the way, I think every church ought to be planting churches. Every church ought to be involved in finding communities where there's not a church and going to that community and planting that church. That ought to be the mission of every church. By the way, that is the mission of every church. So often we get so wrapped up in what we do here that we don't really understand fully what God has called us to do. We're to take the gospel to every community, everywhere. Are there communities in the United States where there's not a church? Yes. We should decide today that we're going to follow a plan that God has given us. Now, by the way, Pastor Joseph, our model comes right out of the Bible. Dr. Steve Wilkes and I, when we started this organization, we sat down one day, went through the book of Acts, and we pulled out what Paul did, and that's what we decided to adopt. We had this mentality, if it worked for Paul, it's got to work for us. And you know what? It has. It has in our country, and it has around the world as well. But if a pastor would understand that it's the job of his church to reproduce that fellowship, you know, we're not here to build my kingdom. We're not here to build your kingdom. We're here to build the kingdom of the living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we can fully understand that, then we shed off a lot of the imagery that we take on in our own country of the way church has to be, because church doesn't have to be that way. I mean, I know of folks that have planted a church at a Starbucks. They meet every Sunday morning in Starbucks. They open their Bible. They get their coffee, and they read and study their Bible and fellowship together. Discipleship's taking place. Doesn't look like probably what most people go to every Sunday morning, but are they the church? Yes. Where two or three are gathered in my name, that's where I am.
Well, what would you say in relation to what you've just shared, an important outcome is that believers understand they have responsibility to carry out the work of the church, as opposed to some people may think, well, I'm just a bench member, so I just come and I enjoy myself and I go home. How would you respond to that?
I would say that church planting, evangelism, doing work around the world, and I'll use this phrase, mission work, is something everyone could be a part of. Doesn't matter what your age is. I shared Sunday morning, I was preaching in church here just north of us in Ripley, and I said, God likes old people. Think about that. God uses old people. And you read through the scriptures, the most of the people that God used in the book of Genesis were old folks. Abraham was not a young man when God was using him. Moses, 80 years of age, God was using him. Joshua was an old person. Now, I are one of those now, so I understand what it means to be a senior adult. But God is not finished with any of us. If we've got breath in our bodies, we can do something. Now, does that mean, Pastor Joseph, that they're going to get on a plane and fly halfway around the world and get into the bush or go into the jungles of the Amazon? Maybe not. However, they can be a part of what we're doing. Prayer time, we talked about that a while ago. They can be prayer warriors, financial support. They could rally around what's going on and talk about it so others can be aware. Those are things that we all could do. There's a place for everyone, no matter what your age is. And we would encourage folks to not be sitting on the sideline, to get in the very mix of what God is doing, and let's go to work.
Well, Brother Mark, if someone was to say to you, oh, well, Brother Mark, that sounds exciting what you're doing, I just don't foresee how I can start a church, but I really want to get involved with the kind of thing you're talking about, how would you respond to that person?
I would say, yes, come on. We'll find a place for that to take place. Now, not everybody's going to be called to plant a church. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But you can sure support those that are called to plant a church. I was training about 40 people in the country of Burundi. We was in just a mud hut. I mean, it was wall to wall. In fact, the room was just a little bit bigger than the studio where we are right now. Mm-hmm. And about halfway through the training, I sat down. Now, by the way, of that 40, there was more women in the room than men. Mm-hmm. I said, how many of you would be willing to pack your bags and leave this village and go to the next village and start a church? Without hesitation, 100% of the people jumped to their feet. Mm-hmm. Many of those folks, after the training, did just that. They went home, packed their belongings, and they walked. They didn't have cars and things like that. They walked to the next village, mm-hmm. found a mud hut, became their home, and they started a Bible study in that mud hut, which mm-hmm. eventually became a church. So all of us can do something. Mm-hmm. That something may look different from you to me or someone else, but the text that I'm trying to, or the point I'm trying to drive home is not to look like me, mm-hmm. not to look like Pastor Joseph. But let's find out what God's will is for your life, and let's go do that. Mm-hmm. God has a purpose for every single one of us. Mm-hmm. None of us that are born again are without a call upon our lives. Let's find out what it is, and let's get to work.
Well, and, you know, I guess, Brother Mark, that one of the things I think about in listening to what you share and as you share your heart, a great need is for us to change our mindset, because again, for so many of us in our culture, people think, well, church looks like this and church is done this way. And so it would be a whole different mindset to be able to grasp, and not saying that they can't do it,
right?
But it takes some doing sometimes, because people think, well, this is the way I'm used to seeing this happen, you know?
Well, culturally, we've trained people, it's got to be this way. Mm-hmm. And so you got to break that mindset. And let me just say right here, one of the best ways to break that mindset is get on a plane, go with us, mm-hmm. because all of a sudden you're going to find that church is completely different mm-hmm. than the way it's here at home. Now, are there places around the world that looks like church here in America? The answer is yes. But we're working in the Amazon. We're working in the bush of Africa. We're working in the rural areas Eastern Europe and other countries, if you will. And so one more time, let me just say, we want the church to look like the culture of the people, mm-hmm. not like mm-hmm. what I do, but what the people there understand church to be.
Well, I'm going to ask if you'll take time. Our time is almost gone. Pray for listeners to really be wide open to God, helping them to see and begin to think different in the way they follow him and in view of what you shared today.
Love to do that. Let's pray together. Holy Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come before you. Lord, we pray that you would touch hearts and lives of those that are listening today. That, Father, that as they begin to contemplate, what can I do for Jesus? Lord, I pray you would just impress upon them that what you're looking for is a surrendered life. And you take that surrendered life and you do things that are just amazing, Father. Unmistakable Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that those that are listening today will have a desire to surrender to you, for you to do a work in them. And Lord, as you open doors, provide opportunities, we pray, Lord, that there will be a great host of individuals that would say to you, I surrender. I'll do anything you want me to do. Go anywhere you want me to go. Tell anyone the good news of Jesus Christ that you want me to tell. Lord, help us to rally together, not to be like each other, but Father, to be like Jesus, and to tell others about the love of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Mark, share with our listeners one more time, if they want to get in touch with you, or if they want to learn how to give financially or to connect with Worldwide Church Planters, how can they do that?
Go to our website, wwcp.org, and you'll see a donate button there where you can give, or there's a place where you can send me a message. And then either myself or one of our team members will respond back to you and get the information that you need back into your hands.
All right. And, of course, if they want to go on a mission trip with you, again, the same thing.
Do the same thing, and then we can begin the dialogue.
All right. I want to say before our time runs out today, once again, there may be someone listening who's never made that all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. Well, you know, today is a good day to get saved. today is a great day to come to know Christ, because in all of life, the most important thing in life is Jesus and knowing and living for Him. So if you want to pray that prayer and commit your heart to the Lord today, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. If you're in a place where you feel like you want to recommit your heart, please pray this prayer with us as well. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, right now, I ask you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes.
Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to carry out your calling on my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer, we invite you, please do get in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to send you some materials to help you to begin to grow in your walk with the Lord, and some materials to help you strengthen your prayer life as well. So please do email us at jparker@afa.net. Brother Mark, thank you so much again for being
thank
with us.
Pastor
one
Joseph.
More time, share the website so people can get in touch with you and your ministry.
WWCP.org, Worldwide Church Planters.
All right. Well, I hope you get flooded with prayer warriors and folks that want to go with you
thank
on trips
you.
Too. So,
thank you so much for that, Pastor Joseph.
All right.
God
thank you for
brother.
Being with us. Please pray much for Brother Mark Davis and the Worldwide Church Planters. They're doing a powerful and a wonderful work. And again, if you want more information to learn more about how God can use you in some new ways in your community, get in touch with them. Please do. Thanks again for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.